Dear listeners, this is Open Studio podcast series at Rupert. Please join me in welcoming Tyler Matthew Oyer, a visual and performative artist. We were just listening to one of your tracks, Tyler. I wanted to ask you, what was the track? And maybe can you say a few words on what was in the backdrop?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me. We were just listening to my new song, Star Shopping, which came out a few weeks ago. And I wrote this song during the COVID lockdown in LA. And I was thinking about this strong desire to feel happiness and to feel fun and light and free. And star shopping was this phrase that popped into my head. And so I worked with an amazingly talented producer and composer, Ben Babbitt, on that track. And there is a remix coming out very soon.
Can you say something about the remix?
It's also very fun. It's a little bit more disco vibe. And I produced it while in residence here at Rupert.
Great. So now I wanted to come a little bit further, go a little bit further and delve into some of the things that you touch upon in your practice as a visual performing artist. And as you embracing different mediums and incarnating different bodies and exploring different entities, you seem to be actively working as a musician, and you're known for your theatrical, campy, goth pop performances, as we can also read on your Spotify, which is also very active. And you came to Vilnius with a quite clear vision of cutting off from your mundane surroundings for the sake of finding time and space to focus on your performative and musical work, or more specifically, you wanted to or wished to translate your two last music albums to more of a theater show to conclude your residency in Vilnius. So would you like to say something about what Vilnius has, what Vilnius audiences can expect, what Vilnius has been to you so far?
Yeah, being here, this is my first time in Lithuania and my first time in Vilnius. And so I've been exploring a lot and taking some time to get to know the rhythm of the city. And because the residency here is a bit outside the city, having long walks in the woods and spending time along the river and having these kind of nature moments has given me a lot of time to reflect on this past year of lockdown and of not making performances. It's been about a year and a half since I've produced a kind of full-scale new performance work. So yeah, as you mentioned, I put out two records last year. I put out an EP in July entitled No Temple, and then I put out the remix album Retemple in December. So this show is called Venus, and I'm thinking about Venus as an anti-patriarchal, non-dominant icon. Of course, Venus is the only feminine planet in the solar system, and I don't necessarily want to get into a conversation about binaries between femininity and masculinity. Rather, just focus on the femme. So for me, Venus is a femme icon. And this work is part experimental theater. It's almost an operetta. It'll be part techno club and part esoteric ritual. And it will be contextualized in the chapel of the former prison, Lukeškis, in the center of Vilnius. And some of the moving parts that are in production right now are custom costumes that are being designed and shipped from Berlin by an amazing young queer designer, Moritz Eden. And in addition to the songs from No Temple and Retemple, I've been producing new tracks while I'm here at Rupert. So those will kind of weave together the already released music that you can hear on Spotify and SoundCloud and Apple Music. Mm-hmm. And that's very exciting to be here producing all of these new songs as well. I'm working with a local dancer and choreographer. I'm making props and scenography. And you asked what Vilnius will expect from this performance. And what I wrote down, what I was thinking is, it'll be a campy, dark-edged, witchy, and sexy experience.
Well, that sounds very promising, or even beyond promising. And you're dropping some interesting names, and also some local artists you're getting acquainted with, and you're going to collaborate, which is amazing. I wanted to ask you about your collaborations, because you seem to be really open for a dialogue with other artists, and I guess it's maybe an interesting note for our listeners. So you seem also to look at the work of other artists or queer protagonists and make correspondences between your work and theirs. And I would like to ask you about your homage to sculptor and installation artist Paul Thack, known for his environments and looking at religion and body, an artist who has influenced especially one of your recent works, which I wanted to maybe ask you a little bit about, because you've recently worked on this pyramid, a work in progress with several artists, on building a sculptural installation installed in your garden in Los Angeles and inhabited by a bunch of interesting artists, some of your friends. And would you like to unveil a bit of this work in a dialogue with Paul Thack and the others?
Yeah, thanks for this question. So this work that you're mentioning is actually an extension of an ongoing project that is entitled Calling All Divas, which is a manifesto style approach to multimedia, multidisciplinary, transdisciplinary actions, activities, writings, experiences. And that Calling All Divas, the kind of core of that manifesto, focuses on actual and imagined intergenerational queer dialogues. So this really came out of my experience in undergraduate and graduate art school. A lot of the historical artists who I was inspired by and in dialogue with had died from HIV/AIDS around the time of my birth. And as I was maturing into my own art practice and my own art studies, my own academic research, I was realizing that those voices were felt a bit frozen in the past. They were not my teachers, they were not my mentors, they were not my collaborators. So I made this Calling All Divas manifesto as a way of contextualizing in the time and space of art these intergenerational imagined queer dialogues. So Paul Thack is an artist, as you mentioned, American artist who died of HIV/AIDS in 1988. And that was a year after I was born. So we really didn't exist at the same time. And I've admired Tech's work for a long time. I had a residency in 2019 in Fire Island, where Thack had a studio in 1967, actually. And there are these very beautiful portraits of Paul Thack in the studio taken by his then boyfriend, Peter Hujar. Mm-hmm. I've admired Thack's work for its spirituality. I was raised religious, Thack was raised religious, but we both kind of through our queerness have reinterpreted a spirituality. And one of the questions I had with his work was when he would make these installations in the late 60s and early 70s, mostly in European institutions, they would be completely architectural interventions. They would be made of cardboard, newspaper, chicken wire, 2x4s, sticks, oftentimes living elements like onions and garlics and fruits and decaying plants. And so now whenever they show his work posthumously, they never recreate these environments. They always show it quite sterile, which of course the work is still very powerful in this setting. But I was thinking, who has the right to remake? How does this work get remade? Who, the curator, an institution, an art worker, an artist, who gets to remake these environments? Now, I'm having this question during a lockdown period, during COVID-19, where I'm living alone in LA with my flat above my studio and a garden outside. So we have Southern California sunshine and no rain and square meters of possibility in my garden. So what I decided to do was to research these structures and to kind of design my own interpretation, construct it. And then once it was constructed, I invited 7 queer artists who are Los Angeles based and who are my kin. They are friends, they're collaborators, they're people that I've lived with, who I've made work with, who I've toured with, and who I've known for a very long time. I invited them to come into this space and each in their own in their own schedule, use the space as a kind of set to produce imagery, a performance, text, moving image. So what was produced is a kind of portfolio of interpretations and dialogues, not only with Paul Tech's work, but with my work and with each other's work. Now the task ahead is to figure out how to materialize and contextualize all of these projects into an exhibition or a publication.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a publication coming out of this, right?
Or yeah, maybe it's in the works.
It's in the works. This is great. So amazing. I would like to maybe just to conclude, or maybe not conclude because you're still in your residency, and but I wanted to ask you, because it seems as you're spending your time quite actively also in the nature here in Valakampay, and somehow it seems to me that maybe the area of Valakampay around Rupert has somehow informed some of the things you're working on right now, and you're also going to the nature, to the open, to collect some of the meadow plants, some of the kind of invasive foreign or local plants and ruderal species evident locally just next to Rupert. And some of these wildflowers are clovers or sangfoles, and they serve for you to make, you're making a series of photos and drawings which are really beautiful. Could you please tell me something about them?
Yeah, of course. So as I mentioned, I've never been to Lithuania before, and I've never been to Vilnius, and I've never been to this locality. So for me, I feel very much, first and foremost, that I'm a visitor here. And in order to acquaint myself with the energies of the space and the historical spirits that are here and moving through this space, I've been spending a lot of time in the woods, on walks at different times of the day, and on jogs. And I wouldn't say that I'm an ecosexual, but I am a geosensitive. So I am someone who does interpret and has a very deep sensitivity to my surroundings. And that's always heightened in a kind of natural environment. So it's been very heightened here. And on my walks, I have been noticing the wildflowers, both indigenous and invasive, and how they change over time. And at the same time, I'm doing this research on Venus. And one of the things about Venus that I love so much is that Venus and Earth, the pattern of their orbit creates both a five-pointed star and a five-petaled flower. So I've already been doing this pentagram work for many years, and the pentagram is a kind of symbol that is driving the aesthetic of the Venus performance. And so I was thinking, how can I take these flowers and turn them into pentagrams? And so I started snipping five stems of each flower as I see them, and then I make a pictogram of them as a pentagram, in the shape of a pentagram. And this was really a surprise. Mm-hmm. And this is what I love about being an artist, because there's always this room for play. And this is also what I love about doing a residency, because it forces you into a new environment to look at materials differently and to imagine what they can be, what they are, and what they can transform into. And I'll actually take this moment to give a nod to my artist mentor, artist mother, Kembra Faller, the New York-based performance artist, musician, and super inspiring artist. Kembra has a philosophy of availabism, which is making use of what's available. And I think that these pictograms that I'm making out of the flowers, these arrangements, they're really like gestures. They're really ephemeral, and they are in the spirit of availabism. And I like that there's this kind of poetry to the symbol. And yeah, it's been really fun to make them. It's a different modality. It gets me off of the computer. It gets me out of the studio. It gets me moving my body and thinking in images, which is very fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is quite interesting also, because it seems that you mostly work with music and performances, but you're also working with print and photographs and all these things that are somehow let's say, graphic. I find them really compelling.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's, for me, I always come to my 2D practice in a kind of, at this point, almost thinking about merch. And less about a kind of $50,000 painting, but more about how to make inspiring images and materials, printed matter, available to folks, which is why I started making a lot of screen prints and letterpress and different kinds of editions over the last few years, wearables. This is really important for me, textile editions. That way people can have access. Mm-hmm. Without having to be a kind of 1% art collector.
Mm-hmm. This is great. So it seems that your performance at the end of July will be quite something, to say the least. And we're looking forward to it, especially because we're trying to weave it together with a lecture performance by Maaike van der Drift, which is quite amazing. And I guess, would you like to add anything to this?
Or? No, I'm very excited. I'm very inspired. Very honored to be sharing the event with Maaike and their amazing ideas and their exciting delivery of those ideas. So I think it will be a very fun event. If anyone's listening, mark your calendars or watch out for the Rupert announcements.
That's exactly. Save the date for the 31st of July. And thank you so much, Tyler, for joining me in this conversation. I'm really honored to be speaking with you, and I hope to explore more and more of your music on Spotify. And I encourage everyone who listens us to explore more of Tyler's music. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend again.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
This feeling with you so sparkly, I could cry.